to this Chris Dingle service. And if you're on the Alpha course and you've come, that's really great because you've got the opportunity to see part of the church at worship. If you're visiting relatives, because it's near Christmas, it's that time of the year when people seem to swap about on Sundays, welcome. And if you're part of the 4 o'clock congregation, which hasn't actually met here since July, welcome. You know, nobody knows really when Chris Dingle services for children began. There's a record of one in 1747 in Germany, where each child received a candle tied around with a ribbon to help them understand how, when we come to personal faith in Jesus, it's like lighting a little fire within us, which keeps burning for our joy and peace. And the written record of that far-off service of 1747 ends by saying this: whereupon the children went, full of joy, with their lighted candles to their rooms, and so went glad and happy to bed. I don't know whether that will be your experience with your children after this service. I suspect you won't be sending them to their rooms glad and happy with a lighted candle. But the symbolism gradually developed to incorporate an orange and sweets, and we'll be hearing more about that later. Now, nobody knows for certain when the word Christingle was first used in English or where it really derives from. There are all sorts of theories. Some say that it comes from an old Saxon word, ingle, from which we get inglenook, to do with fires, meaning the Christ light or fire. Some say it comes from a German word, engel, angel, meaning Christ angel. Some say it comes from the German kind, child, meaning Christ child. As no one can be certain how we got the word or where we came from, I feel entitled to come up with my own version. Chris Tingle, Jesus puts the tingle into Chris Dingle. Now, tingling can be caused by a whole range of emotions, but it's much more likely to be caused by excitement than fear. What makes you feel really excited? Sometimes it can be the sheer joy of a particular day, that a particular day has arrived. And excitement puts a bit of wow into our lives. But if we're totally honest, many people approach church and issues of faith with more of a sigh than a wow. And the Apostle John was one of the first people to believe in Jesus. If the Apostle John was alive today, he would definitely use Twitter and he would tweet short messages. Because as a writer, he was able to summarize big spiritual truths in just a few words. And this is how he describes the birth of Jesus from John's Gospel, chapter 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, at first sight, those Bible verses may seem full of ideas we can't really get our heads around. But God's message to us is not really all that complicated. The deepest truths actually can be quite simply received and understood. At Bethlehem, a baby was born who was God in human flesh. That is the central truth of what Christians believe, that God was born as a baby. And everything else Christians believe derives from that essential truth. Mark was telling us this morning that the Old Testament, and we saw in that bit of film at the beginning of the service, lots of Old Testament stories painted that led up to Jesus. But Mark said the whole of the Old Testament could be summed up in one word, promise. So the Old Testament is the promise of that which is to come. And the New Testament, the second bit of the Bible, has a central truth that God was born as a baby. And the rest of the Bible really is about how the followers of that baby, how Christians are supposed to live and treat one another and to share that news with other people. Now, the puzzle is that when Jesus came, he was largely ignored. It says in John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Well, there are several things in that verse that could make a believer go, wow, and have a bit of this tingle factor. The first wow is Christ was in the world. You know, Jesus didn't come on a day trip from heaven. He came for a lifetime. For 33 years, he walked the earth. Jesus wasn't an alien or a robot or even an angel. He became one of us. For strange that it may seem to us, God loves us. He came to visit us on this earth, to lift us up, to clean us up, so that we could become like him. Wow. Next thing, the world was made through him. Well, I think that's really exciting. You know, lots of people caught up in ideas of Darwinian evolution are really unaware that the world was made through him. That's what the Bible says. Wow, that's a big truth. You may have never thought of that before. Third bit of wow factor here is the world didn't recognize him. You'd have thought that, especially when the Jewish people had been expecting a messenger from heaven for centuries, you'd have thought they wouldn't have missed the moment when he actually arrived. But they did. And that remains true today. The majority of people in the world do not recognize Jesus for who he really is. When he came the first time, King Herod, who was the king in that part of the world then, hated him. The scribes, the religious leaders, ignored him. You know from your childhood memories, there was no room for him in the inn. And only the shepherds and wise men, the poor and the foreigners, welcomed him to the earth. And it's a bit like that today. Christmas, as a celebration of spiritual significance, is not actually marked by many people. Now, lots of people can get excited at the thought of presents and parties and family gatherings, and that's great as far as it goes. But Jesus doesn't actually play a part in the thinking of many people today. So the first main thing I want to draw out from this passage of Scripture is that Jesus was ignored. Second thing I want to talk about is that Jesus was rejected. It says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The world's ignorance is not the end of the story. He came to his own home, the nation of Israel, and they did not receive him. Jesus came to the people who should have been looking out for him, and they wanted nothing to do with him. God had told them over and over again, many times in the Old Testament, that he would one day send the Messiah to the earth to deliver his people Israel from sin. But when Jesus finally arrived, they didn't believe it. And in the fullness of time, 30 odd years later, some of them decided to put him to death. He came to his own people, the one place where You'd have expected him to be welcomed, and they didn't want him. They did not receive him. They did not believe in him. And finally, they crucified him. And that rejection continues in large part by most people in the world today. But I think the next part of the story is the really exciting, life-changing bit. It says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And the good news is that not everyone rejected Jesus. Some people recognized Jesus for who he is, and they welcomed him as Lord and Savior. And even in the midst of general rejection, there were many at that time who followed the Lord. Notice some key words in verse 12. All who received him. The word receive means to welcome a visitor into your home. Imagine you've planned a party and you've asked people to arrive at 8 o'clock and you hear the doorbell ring at 8 o'clock. You open the door with a nice smile and you say, do come in. You receive your guests into your home. And to receive Christ means to welcome him as an honored guest and to have him make your heart, your life, into his home. So to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. Believed is another key word in verse 12. Believing means more than saying a prayer or signing a card or turning up to church occasionally. Believing contains the idea of really understanding that Jesus is the Son of God from heaven and trusting him with all your heart. It means resting on him completely so that he is your only hope of heaven. So that all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The word right means privilege. The moment you receive Christ into your life, God gives you the privilege of becoming a member of his family. And this tells us that not everyone is a child of God. Sometimes people sort of carelessly say, and they throw it into the ether, and it's assumed that you agree with them. They say things like, oh, well, of course, we're all God's children. Now, the Bible actually says no such thing. God only gives the privilege of being his children to those who, by personal faith, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And verse 13 explains exactly how someone can become a child of God. Some of you have been on the Alpha course, or you're doing it now. This is a bit of revision for you. It's putting the same thing in a slightly different way. Verse 13. It talks about children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, not of a husband's will, but born of God. Let's take that a little bit at a time. Not of natural descent. You know, God's forgiveness of sin does not pass automatically from one generation to another. You aren't a Christian because your parents were Christians or because your grandfather was a vicar. You don't get brownie points with God just because you come from a nice background. Your family background doesn't count for anything when it comes to salvation and being put right with God. The Bible is quite clear of this, that we've got the right to become children of God, but children born not of natural descent. So there may still be a few hereditary peers in the House of Lords, 91, but there aren't any hereditary Christians. You have to actually be adopted into God's family when you come to faith in him. But the second thing is we're born not of natural descent, nor of human decision. Now, literally, this means not of the will of the flesh. It means there's nothing you can actually do to put yourself right with God. There is nothing you can do to earn God's favor or his forgiveness, so it's a bit of a waste of time trying, because human decision won't get you put right with God. The verse goes on to say, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will. Literally, it means not the will of a man. And that's also important, because sometimes in life, this is not as prevalent in Britain as in some societies, but I suspect it's fairly prevalent in Britain. You say it's not what you know, it's who you know that's important. But no person is big enough or important enough or powerful enough to swing open wide the pearly gates of heaven on your behalf. Nobody can put a word in for you and get you a place there. Let's go back to the verse. It says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And I think that's the really exciting news of the gospel, the tingly bit, if you like, that we can find forgiveness from sin and we can be put right with God. This is a free gift. It's totally of God's grace. We've been singing about God's grace earlier this afternoon. Somebody here may say, well, isn't there anything at all I can do to be accepted by God? Well, there is a small part you can do. The one thing you can do is to recognize that without Christ and without God, you are hopelessly lost in your own sin. And God's part is to save you from the results of that sin. And that way, God alone gets the credit. Salvation, getting right with God, being put right with God, is a work of God from first to last. There's no good deeds we can do to stack up brownie points with God. We simply need to trust Christ to save us. So the only question left before us this afternoon is really quite a simple one. Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The world ignored him. His own people rejected him. But what about you? What have you done with Christ? You see, it's not enough that Jesus came to earth. His coming 2,000 years ago will do you no good as long as Christ remains outside of your life. You may say, I believe in Jesus, and that's good. But have you ever welcomed him into your life? I know, based on past experience, that in the next 3.5 weeks, we will welcome a lot of people through this building that I don't see at other times of the year. And that's lovely. And if coming here and seeing me or the band or whatever helps to give them an enjoyable Christmas, well, lovely, God bless them. And we love seeing people. But I just wish it got a little further than just that once a year or that turning up to the carol service or on Christmas Eve or whatever. I just wish it went a bit further so that people welcome Jesus into their lives. Because believing about Jesus will do you no spiritual good unless you believe on Jesus in your heart. You know, would you like to be forgiven in God's sight? Would you like to receive eternal life? John chapter 1 verse 12 says, to all who received on him. Think about those words, to all who. There is no human limit to the number of people who can be welcomed by God, who can be forgiven their sins, who can be included in his family. And that's the exciting bit. Many, many people have believed Christ and opened their lives to him. But what about you this afternoon? How do you take this step? How do you receive Christ? Well, in a sense, it's as easy as ABC. The A is admit your need of him. The B is to believe the facts about Jesus. Do you believe he is the Son of God from heaven, who lived on the earth as God in human flesh, who loved you enough to die in your place, bearing your sins? Do you believe he rose from the dead after 3 days and that he's now in a position of power and authority at the right hand of the Father in heaven? If you believe those things, you're well on your way. But the third thing is to welcome him as your Lord and Saviour. I couldn't think of a word beginning with C, which means welcome. But you might get one, in which case, tell me. And if I preach this sermon again, I'll have a C for the third point. Welcome him as your Lord and Saviour. Are you ready to open the door of your heart and receive him into your life? In short, receiving Christ involves trusting all that you are to all that he is. I want to finish this talk with a simple prayer of personal commitment. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, perhaps these words may be the vehicle God uses to create faith in your heart, to bring you into his family. So may God help you to trust Christ and receive him by faith. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. Here and now, I open the door and invite you to come into my life. I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. With all my heart, I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Saviour. There's room in my life for you today. Amen. Mark, couldn't we sing a song? And if you're a regular part of the church, you'll know that we don't normally take up an offering at this service, but if you want to give to support the work of this church, there are baskets at the front. We don't pass the baskets around at 4 o'clock. I would suggest you come out during this song. If you're visiting or part of another church, that's fine. I'm not expecting you to move unless you particularly feel you must. I just wanted to say something else. We have a Facebook site for Battle Baptist Church, and there'll be lots of stuff going on that site in the next days about events that are happening here and photographs of things that we've already done. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, please feel free to do so. It's called Battle Baptist Church. Okay, Mark.
Thank you, Dennis. If you have prayed that prayer, it'd be great to let Dennis or one of the leaders know afterwards so we can encourage you and so we can pray for you. We're now going to sing another song. It might not be a familiar song to you. I understand that if you're visiting, a lot of the songs we've sung today might not be familiar. So feel free to stand or sit as you like. But we're gonna sing and we're gonna continue to worship God now.
This is our Saviour, eternal Creator, the glory of heaven come down. Shunned like a stranger and born in a manger, the world could not spare him a room. Because of his grace, we're welcomed in to join with the angels, the shepherds and kings. Because of his grace, we can bow down, we can receive him, our heavenly crown, because of his grace. Through him and for him, we're made to adore him, come worship our Lord and our King. Let's surrender our pride and let's lay down our life for our Savior who gave everything. Because of his grace, we're welcomed in to join with the angels, the shepherds and kings. Because of his grace, we can bow down, we can receive him, our heavenly crown, because of his grace. Light of the world, his life's meaning unfurled, but the darkness has failed to receive what the Father concealed through the word he's revealed, his salvation for all who believe. And because of his grace, we're welcomed in to join with the angels, the shepherds and kings. Because of his grace, we can bow down, we can receive him, our heavenly crown, because of his grace. At the cross where he died, hell and heaven collide, as he pours out his life for our sin. Then he rose up on high, heaven's gates have swung wide, he's alive and he's shown us the way. And because of his grace, we're welcomed in to join with the angels, the shepherds and kings. Because of his grace, we can bow down, we can receive him, our heavenly crown. Because of his grace, we're welcomed in to join with the angels and shepherds and kings. Because of his grace, we can bow down, we can receive him, our heavenly crown. Because of his grace. Jesus, I love you, there is none above you, my life will reflect this great truth. Through all of my days, Lord, to you be the praise and the glory and honor that's due.
Welcome back to the children. We're going to make the Chris Dingles very shortly, but just before we do, I'm just going to take this off here actually, if I can. I wanted to ask you guys and see what you've been learning about, and see if you can tell us what each part of the Chris Dingle represents. So we'll start off with the orange. Can anyone tell me the orange? Yes. Can you tell me the world? Brilliant. So the orange represents the world that Jesus came to save. Can anyone tell me what the ribbon or the red tape represents? Yes. Yes. The red tape represents the blood of Jesus, which he shed on the cross for us to pay the price for our sins. And can anybody tell me what the, got a candle here, what the candle represents? Candle. Yes, Abby. God. Yes, it represents God. Who particularly? Which person of the Trinity, which person of God does it represent? Yes. Yeah, the light of Jesus. Yes, so it's God. It's the light of the world. It's Jesus who came down to earth for us. And then we have cocktail sticks, which seems a bit peculiar, doesn't it? Four cocktail sticks, which we stick in around. So we stick four of these in. What are those there to represent? Yes, it was a cocktail. The four Gospels. Yes, the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels. The Gospel that we're to proclaim also to the four corners of the earth. Brilliant. And then, my favourite bit, we've got the sweets. We've got nine sweets. What do the sweets represent? Yes, Ethan. Yeah, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Can any of you name them? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you name them all. Okay. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Holy Spirit that are hopefully born out in the lives of believers. So, fantastic. We are going to sing a couple of songs whilst we make the Chris Dingles. So, I think we should have enough. Do we have enough for everybody, Dennis, do you think?
Yes, I think so. If you've been before, because some of you have been to church this morning, just hold back first. Yeah. Are you going to point out any safety features?
Yeah,
with young children.
Yeah, we will be lighting these. So we'll be lighting the candles in the sort of, as once everyone's made them. So just be careful if you've got long hair, if your mum's got long hair, don't put it too close to her hair because she might not thank you if it sets light. Ooh, yeah. And Dennis has just helpfully reminded me by prodding my hand with the cocktail stick. They're quite sharp. So as you put the sweets on, as Dennis sort of said this morning, he did a brilliant technique to point it downwards, which I wouldn't have thought of. Because if you point it upwards, it might just slip and there might be a nasty accident. So that's safety, okay? Parents, hopefully you can help kids. If you've never made a Christingle before and you're slightly unsure, watch what other people are doing around you and ask for help. And you will see, I should have had one helpfully made up already, but you'll get the idea. Oh, look, Penny's made one there. So if you want any help, go and ask Penny, and she can help you make one. Brilliant. So everybody, come forward and get your stuff in an orderly manner. It's great.
Joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! then sings my soul, my saving God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art.
How's it going? Is everyone doing well? Are we winning? It looks like some people are getting close. Fantastic. What we're going to do is I'm going to get Ethan, are you almost finished? No. I need a couple of the slightly older ones. Louis, can you come down? And if you could come down, and then what we're going to do is I'm going to light your ones, and then you're going to go round and you're going to help everybody else like there. So you've got to be very, very careful with this, okay? So this will be fun. So we're going to light them all up as we sing our last song, Shine Jesus Shine. You'll have we'll make sure it's a long intro, so you have a little bit of extra time just to get finished. But that's great.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By your blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Now if you can, if everyone carefully stands up for the last verse, but just make sure as you stand up you don't lean forward into your candles. So if we all stand up, and then we can raise, keep going, Chris. Everyone stands up nice and carefully. Fantastic. No one's burnt themselves yet. That's brilliant.
As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. And send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have had here together this morning, Lord, this afternoon even. It's not even evening or morning, Lord, but it's just great to worship you whatever the time of day. Lord, we thank you that you are the light of the world, Lord God. We pray your light would shine in our hearts this week as we go out, Lord, from this place. And Father God, we pray your blessing and protection on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a few quick notices. I think for safety reasons, it would be good. It's best to lick your fingers, if you can, and extinguish the flame or get an adult to do it for you. But it creates less smoke. So if you're just blow if you're feeling nervous about what I just said. Don't try it multiple times. We'll have a nice smoky haze getting in here. It's a bit like a nightclub. I shouldn't say that in church, should I?
That's a good one.
Okay. Very quickly, before we go out and have some scones, just the notices. There's a massive thanks to Brenda Crew and the team who put on the ladies' quiz night on Wednesday night, which was fantastic. We had nearly 50 come, so that was absolutely brilliant. And I think Brenda's around, so I think we should just give her a round of applause if we can. That's fantastic. And there are some extra activities on next week, so you can see the details of that in the newsletter, including the arts and crafts days and the choir practice on Thursday night, which is really important. So Jenny's here. If you haven't told her you're singing in the choir, come and tell her after the service. She'd love to hear that. A reminder, we need some help still for the gala night, which is on Thursday the 12th of December. Andy Garlick needs help to run children's crafts, and then Pat, who's just over there, needs help with the leafleting and welcoming. And at next week's 9 and 4 p.m. services, we're going to be celebrating baptisms. And we are going to have the baptism of Joe Petroni here at 4 o'clock. So if you're able to come along to that. It'd be really fantastic. And that is it. So if we'd like to say, should we say the grace to one another before we go off? Okay, let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen. Amen. We'll have some refreshments in the Manor House, so it'd be great if you can stay with us.